here we are. Welcome back to Prometheus Chats. This is part three of the roundtable discussion that we had just started with Jordan Hoffman and William Goss and Jermaine Lassier. So, guys, there are still some more questions that we have. I have another question. What happened to the ship that caused the engineers to die? How did they all die, first of all? Do we know this?
All right. That's a great question on my list. I don't have a great answer, but I think maybe they sort of got connected with the ooze somehow. And as Will said in the last roundtable, like, it has a variable effect. And one of their own attacked themselves, and that's when they all sort of scattered out. We see those holograms of them running. So I think it was some sort of encounter with the ooze. We just don't see how they dropped the canister or something.
I mean,
their experiment went awry, and there we go.
So they're there experimenting on these things, and it went haywire, and the things started chasing them all over the place. I mean, and these things are pretty like superhuman. I mean, they're like gods, these guys, and they can't kill these whatever
themselves.
They are.
Really, they're sort of fighting themselves, right? They're not running from. We don't ever see what they're running from, do we?
No. I would imagine that they're running from xenomorphs, classic alien xenomorphs, or no? Is that
no.
what?
No,
I don't think those existed until the end of the movie when
right.
what comes out of Rapace.
Yes, they're running from proto xenomorphs. They're running from the thing that killed the blue guy at the end of the movie, the thing that popped out of Noomi Rapace. We have to assume that they were female. female engineers there as well. You know, it's funny. I hadn't even thought of this question. I just assumed that it was because, you know, I've watched Alien 500,000 times and I always assumed that the space jockey got killed by the xenomorphs. And now you're right. He didn't. He got killed by something else.
But it's interesting because what are these something else's? I mean, they're giant and they're so biologically different from the face huggers in the series, you know, and yet the xenomorph it creates is basically the same. So I don't think it is.
Go, Will.
Well, I felt like what we saw at the very last shot of the movie is the first queen alien because something has to lay the eggs for what becomes the traditional accepted alien lore. But I feel like until that moment in the film, in that universe, those hadn't existed yet. And then we just got the right combination of conditions where something brutal combined with something that's like a god, and then you have a perfect living organism.
I think maybe it's the queen alien. I sort of saw it as... The Queen Alien just has a totally different look. This had a more human look. It had more of an alien resurrection alien look to me. Mm. And I was like, I thought maybe there's at least one or two more evolutional steps. That's not a word, but evolutionary steps before Alien. That's what it looked like to me. But I think probably makes more sense that that's a Queen Alien.
So this thing is hanging out on the planet afterwards by itself. And, I mean, what is it mating with?
No, well, it has to get to the other planet, too, for Alien to happen. So we don't know. That would be, I guess, another movie.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, let's take a step back from all this madness for a second. Are we giving this movie way too much credit? Are we analyzing things that if we were to shoot up Lindelof and Scott with sodium pentothal, they would say, we don't know. We're just winging it. Do you really think that they have answers to these questions? And if they do, why is it so... you know, opaque to figure this out. You know, is that on purpose? And if so, is that the mark of a good movie?
Go ahead. I mean, that's the big question here. You know, I mean, you look at Damon Lindelof and you look at something like Lost, and then you watch something like Prometheus, and you're like, okay, naturally, I'm left with all these freaking questions that don't have answers because Lindelof wrote this thing. But I mean, you know, some people will say they like that. They like these engaging discussions afterwards. They like kind of figuring out these little pockets of puzzles, sort of like Inception, of kind of going down all these little holes and trying to figure it all out. Some people like yourself, Jordan, feel like, you know, no, I'm screwed. I'm pissed off. It didn't give me everything that I
Well, it depends. I mean, it's not like I need everything handed to me on a silver platter, but I wonder if the film merits the conversation. Inception, I think if you really think it through, you'll find answers. And, you know, other movies that are mysterious and, you know, you watch Miller's Crossing the first time, you don't know who the hell anybody is. You watch it a second time, you realize how everybody is related. That's fine. I think, you know, some films earn that respect and earn that, you know, level of appreciation. I'm not 100% sure this is one of those films.
I think it's because the answers haven't been born yet, really. I mean, that's, you know, it's,
much like the Xenomorph.
Yep, they really have. They really haven't. I mean, this is the age we live in. We live in an age of everything is starting a potential franchise. I think this film a little bit more than some other, like, say, Snow White and the Huntsman. But this film, I think Ridley Scott really wanted it to be a franchise. I think when he started talking about it with Lindelof, we were already talking about the sequel. So I feel like a lot of what Scott's ideas for where this goes, he wanted to plant all of those in this first film. They're all saying that they still feel like even if it doesn't get a sequel, they feel like this is a complete experience. But it's not. It is no way in hell a complete experience unless you make those other films. And I think I don't think you guys disagree with that.
Well, that's a game changer, though. That's interesting.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree with you, Eric, and I think to answer Jordan's question, I think they have half the answers. I think they don't have the other half, and I think that what Eric said is true. They probably left the other half for another movie. I mean, it's like Damon Lindelof always said, we have a Bible for Lost, and then after Lost, he was like, yeah, we sort of did. You know, like, and he said that, you know, like Ridley Scott, like, there'll be two more movies to get to Alien. So it seems like they have some sort of idea, some sort of basic gist. So I'm sure they have an idea of, you know, why the engineers wanted to kill us and some sort of idea of how exactly this relates to Alien. How did a ship from this planet get over to LV-426? Or maybe it was a whole other fleet of ships that landed on LV-426. I'm sure there is that answer somewhere, but it's not in this movie, which, again, and that's the argument. That's the ultimate burning question is, does the fact that are these burning questions make it a good movie or not? And I think that's a subjective thing.
Yeah, and do you want to see the answers to these questions? That's which is a good question. Jordan, would you want to see the answers to these questions play out in subsequent sequels?
Now I do. Now that you pitch it like that, I do. Now I'm excited all of a sudden. I mean, listen, it looks great. I mean, it's you know, I can't stress enough how beautiful it is. And I didn't hate the movie, but I was just annoyed by it. But now what you're basically saying is that Prometheus is the Phantom Menace. I mean, this is part one of the prequels, basically.
Basically, sort of, yeah. I mean, he makes no qualms about it. I mean, even in the interview that we posted, he says, I mean, he wants to do it. He wants to do the sequel. He's been thinking from the beginning that they want to do the sequel. Lindelof has said when we started talking about the sequel. I'm a little bit pissed at Lindelof for kind of – because he's like he'd rather the sequel go in someone else's hands. It's like, you know what, dude? You take kind of – this is yours. You know, you kind of helped create it. You know, take some control of it. You know, you finish this out. See this through. Don't just freaking abandon ship after the first movie, you know. And but we'll see what happens, you know.
I have another burning question that's sort of different, and I don't know if a lot of people have been discussing it. So Prometheus takes place about 30 years before Alien, and an Alien Mother is a computer with a 13-inch monitor that's in a whole room. Yet 30 years earlier, they have the most advanced, beautiful, high-definition touchscreen technology. Why the hell is technology so much better 30 years before?
Oh, well, I mean, now we're looking at the Star Wars questions as well. I mean, it's similar to the Star Wars franchise.
But in Star Wars, the answer was the Empire took over and everything went to shit.
Everything just
keeps getting better.
I heard that the argument for this is that they're on kind of a high-tech vessel that has personally been financed by this multi-billionaire, as opposed to something that's like, you know, a space rig that's just supposed to do kind of blue-collar work.
Okay. I'll give it a pass. I mean, you know, Star Trek Enterprise has better special effects than Star Trek 1966. So, you know, that's the way it is.
It's totally the effects. I understand that, and it's not like a mark on it, but I just kept thinking there should be some sort of line. But yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, they said it was like a $1 trillion ship. The owner of the company is on this. It has to get there. It has to try to make him, you know, immortal, which of course doesn't happen. But
now, when we talk about that, that was for me a big hurdle for the film was when they decided, oh, guess what? Weyland's still on board. And for me, you know, the movie can be as far-fetched as it wants with space goo and monsters, and yet when I see Guy Pearce in old age makeup traipsing around in outer space, that's when I thought, you kind of lost me.
Yeah, he looks.
Why not just cast an old guy? There's plenty of old guys.
But they also introduced this half-assed classical family tragedy theme that doesn't really pay out, and it changes the tone of Theron's performance, which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop too, kind of when all of a sudden he shows up and he wants to be immortal. But does he want to be immortal? Because like we see Fassbender kind of with these experiments, I feel like there's something he has something else in mind. I mean, there's even this one line where Fassbender whispers to him or something and he says they're premature. And meaning like it's almost as if they had already had a conversation about these monsters, these aliens, and they already know kind of how it's supposed to play out. And so then all of a sudden when he shows up, he wants to be immortal. It doesn't. And why would you want to be stuck looking like old Biff, you know, from Back to the Future 2? Like that's when like I'm at 102. Now I want to be immortal. You know, that does it.
It's a little weird. And is Guy Pearce such a box office draw that they couldn't just hire some old actor? That really, the makeup wasn't that great. You know, it was weird to me.
Yeah, but then they couldn't do the viral TED conference video. I guess that's the whole reason why they got Guy Pearce was to shoot a viral video, maybe.
But the Guy Pearce thing, especially him with Charlize Theron, but even just in general, is sort of superfluous to the entire movie. Like, he wants to be immortal. That's great. Or maybe he's the audience searching for answers. But the scientists are searching for answers. That's all we needed, you know. They're just looking for answers in general.
I think they thought that, oh, we have to have our heroine in Elizabeth Shaw. We have to have a clear-cut bad guy instead of having her look for the gods and realize that what she thought she was expecting was not. But then again, I also think that there's a very interesting faith versus science theme that's then compromised when you take out the reason they would destroy Earth. Because I know that you can't say Jesus Christ with an alien on a movie that's going to be on 4,000 screens. But I think it certainly plays into how we see how she treats her faith, even if she doesn't realize that that's the case. And the fact that she still chooses to believe and go in this pursuit of this future crusade, I think that's interesting. But it's also the type of thing that's compromised once you realize, like, well, we can't give that answer, so we're not going to give any answers.
Yeah, I thought the faith versus science thing still worked anyhow, you know, when the boyfriend's like, do you still want to wear that cross? And she said, absolutely. I thought that worked nicely. The thing that I like about the Guy Pearce arc is there's a nice little head fake at the end where you think there's going to be some sort of big revelation, and instead the big Frankenstein's monster just punches him in the chest and knocks him out. That's sort of, from an audience perspective, that took me, you know, I wasn't expecting that, and I went, whoa, you know, that was exciting on a visceral level, at least.
And that's one of my last unanswered questions, too, is what does he say to him in his language, Fassbender? Because he picks up the language and he says something to him, and that incites them to attack. And we asked Ridley Scott, we asked Michael Fassbender, we asked Noomi Rapace. Noomi, I think, admitted that it was scripted, that the line was scripted. I think even Fassbender admitted to us that the line was scripted, and that so much so that he had to work with a dialect coach to get the dialect down. But he wouldn't say what the line was. And Noomi kind of said he was just maybe reiterating what Peter Whalen had asked him to say to him. But to get that kind of response, I want to know what that line is. It's like it's like the Lost in Translation whisper.
Yeah.
I thought he was antagonizing him to spite his father. Like, I thought this whole trip was about the fact that he just grew to spite his father and the human race for creating him without the responsibility and forethought as to whether or not he has a soul. Or maybe he just asked the engineer if they wanted to compare penis sizes. I don't know.
Yep. All right. Will's definite, explanation is much more interesting than mine. I thought, A, he was just reiterating it, and B, because we know the engineers want to kill humans, he just saw a human and just reacted and started killing them.
Yeah, I sort of took it that way, too. I took it at face value at that point. We're at the end of the movie. I wasn't expecting any more twists. He said what Whalen wanted, and then the blue guy, he's been asleep for 1,000 years. You know, he's a little grumpy, hasn't had his coffee. He's like, must kill humans. And then he sees humans, and he's like, oh, these are the guys I'm supposed to kill. Great. So he just goes to town.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Guys, before we wrap up, are there any other unanswered questions that you have that we want to throw out on the floor?
I think we pretty much touched on everything in one way or another. I don't think we've, you know, explicitly gone over it all, but I think, you know, if you just look in the subtext of a lot of these conversations that we said, we brought up other things about, like, you know, how did the alien at the end come out? Idris Elba, he knew that stuff, but why were they there anyway? Why are they on that planet? What were they researching? I mean, all these things sort of have no answer, but they're all sort of you know, in the subtext of everything else we said.
You know, and what's up with the guy who's like, hey, I just need a paycheck. You know, he's all pissed off. He goes to sleep for 3 years. How do you even know you still need that paycheck back at home? I mean, you know, if you're doing a cut of mission where you're going to sleep for 3 years just for a paycheck, it sounds a little bit weird. But let's leave on this note. Are we excited for Prometheus 2? Is that important?
I want to see it. Absolutely.
I'll watch that, yeah.
Cool. Jordan? Jordan, are you there?
Are we back?
Yeah, Jordan, you there? Jordan?
I hear him.
Okay. Jordan, can you hear us? Jordan cannot hear us. So we all want to see Prometheus 2. Guys.
Hello. Testing.
Jordan, can you hear us? No, Jordan, we're losing him. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. It was really cool. And this experience of kind of talking about this film and showing, you know, and I'm curious to see what audiences think about it when it comes out, if they'll debate it as much as we have, or if they will excuse it and say, you know what, that sucked. But thank you.
Thank you.
Take care,
guys.
Bye.